Turn with me in your Bible, please, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and we'll continue our study of Revelation, where we left off yesterday. Let me begin reading with verse 14, kind of use that as a springboard, a review, whatever you like, to kind of get you up to speed. If you're joining us for the first time, this broadcast is dedicated to the exposition of the Word of God, that people might see what the Bible has to say. And in order to do that, we're going verse by verse through various books of the Bible. And over the last three or so years, we've been through, I think, about 16 different books of the Scripture in the New Testament. And let me just throw this out. From time to time, I make this offer. These broadcasts are available on CD or in an audio cassette format, if you're interested in them. Let me suggest some ways you might be able to use them as perhaps a ministry of your own. If you have loved ones in the military, perhaps stationed overseas, and it's difficult for them to get good Bible preaching, I'm not trying to be super critical here, but frankly, within the chaplaincy in our military services, there are those who are, shall we say, deficient in their background as far as the Bible goes, and as a result, the preaching, such as it is not really bibliocentric. If you have loved ones in uniform and you think they might benefit from these studies, by all means, get in contact with me, and we'll make them available to you at cost. And you can let this be a form of ministry, if you like, of propagating the gospel, getting the Word of God out to others. If you found these studies to be beneficial, by all means, avail yourself of this. If, on the other hand, you listen, you say, well, boy, what a bunch of stuff. I don't agree with that at all. Then, obviously, you wouldn't want to take advantage of the offer. But I do suggest, and I would like for you, please, to consider, before you discard or count as nothing as far as importance of this broadcast, that you at least follow along to see what the Bible says. If it's not consistent with what the Bible says, then pay no attention to it. On the other hand, you will find it, no doubt, crossing the line as far as perhaps what you have heard about the Bible, or which even you may have been taught. But, my friend, the important thing is, what does God say in His Word? Traditions are all well and good, but only insofar as they are related rightfully to the Word of God. Things have to come down push to shove. If you're going to throw something overboard, please don't let it be the Word of God. Let it be the standard. Hold it close. Now, let's go now to verse 14, Revelation chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, this is where we left off on the last broadcast. We didn't actually get into it very far. Well, let's put it like this. The Church of the Laodiceans were made up of people who were very interested in the external. And you will notice, beginning with verse 17 and following, why I say that. They are lukewarm. They have too much religion to be comfortable in the world, but they have too much of the world in them to really be sold out to God. They're lukewarm. He said, I wish you were cold or hot. I think it would not be going too far to say, perhaps, that God has more respect for somebody who is an out-and-out sinner and makes no bones about it. I'm a rebel against God, and that's the way it is. Somebody who's cold, or somebody who is hot, that is, somebody who is consistently on fire for the Lord, standing for the Word of God, getting the gospel to folks who need to hear, doing his den-level best to carry out the Great Commission and to obey the Scripture. He's hot. God says, I appreciate that. I respect that. I respect somebody who is just an out-and-out rebel, who has no respect of God, no fear of God. I can respect that. I can deal with that. But he said, the guy who is lukewarm, you're not cold, you're not hot. He said, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, let me clarify a point before it becomes a problem. God said, because you're not cold or hot. Now, he doesn't say, if you're cold, if you're a rebel against God, that I'll accept you. But rather, being clear-cut on one side or the other is preferable to somebody who is just a kind of a hybridization, kind of a mixture. Obedient, rebellious, sold out, or a sellout. They can't make up their mind which side of the fence they're on. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because, verse 17, now he begins to quote these people. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Now, keep in mind, this is a part of the evaluation that the Lord has given to each of these seven churches. He tells it just as he sees it. Notice, please, that this church is of the opinion it's in good shape. Thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. My friend, did you ever notice what goes on in these mega churches? Have you ever tried to consider or conceive, trying to figure out how much money, how much of God's money is put into things like crystal chandeliers, sound systems that are cutting-edge technology, facilities that beggar the imagination, all the finest, the most expensive. I look at buildings like that. I've been on the mission field. I've made trips overseas, and I see how people live in the third world countries. I see how churches limp along on hand-to-mouth existence. Their pastors, ill-paid, barely able to support and feed their own families. When over in this country and in the Western countries, the money just simply thrown away. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to look at it. I don't know how else to see it in the light of eternity. People say, oh, we're doing this for the Lord. Excuse me, did the Lord ask for it? Does the Lord ever say, I want you to build me a fancy building? Well, David and Solomon, David brought the materials together and Solomon built, oh my goodness, he built a beautiful. Yes, but did God say, I want a fancy building? No, no. When I look at the needs of people around the world and I see multi-million dollar complexes going up to fan and to blow up, to puff up the ego of a man or a congregation and serve no benefit for the getting the gospel out, I have to question the stewardship. I have to question the love for the Lord that that man or that ministry actually has. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's what they're saying. At the same time, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, now this is Jesus speaking, I counsel, I advise you, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, what about this church in Laodicea? Do you think these people are really saved? Is it just a matter that they're professing Christians and, well, they've grown cold and rather backslidden? What is their real spiritual condition? Well, I don't know that we can say anything hard and fast as to whether or not they're actually saved people or not. However, I have to question it. And as I question it, I also have to keep an eye open on the situation today in many of these large, seeker-sensitive churches, these mega-churches, the market-driven church. Find out what people want and then give it to them. We are attracting people to the church. Wait a minute. The early church was composed of born-again believers. They did not go out trying to drum up membership. They did not try to church the unchurched. They tried to win the unsaved to Christ. There is a world of difference, my friend. Now, the reason I'm questioning whether or not these folks in Laodicea were saved or not, and I'm not going to say they're all lost. I believe there was probably a core of people here. But the problem, you'll notice as he tells them what to do, they're poor. They're poor. Remember the church in Smyrna? They were poor financially, and yet he says they were rich. That's what Jesus' evaluation of them was. Now, here is a church that I suspect is a wealthy church, and yet he says they're poor. You also know he counsels them to buy white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. The white raiment is always something that is associated in Revelation specifically, with those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he's saying to them that they need this raiment. Kind of an indication to me that they don't know the Lord, that thy nakedness appear not. And he says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. They do not have a vision of what's going on. It's indicated here in verse 17. He said, you say you're rich and don't have need of anything, and you don't know. You can't see that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind. Oh, yeah, blind. That's kind of without sight, isn't it? You're naked. I counsel you, buy of me gold, try it in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. My friend, do you see the way God sees? How do you see yourself? It's a curious thing. Contemporary Christianity has made man part and parcel with this self-esteem, blow-yourself-up kind of thing. Swell up and strut around in your own importance. How do you see yourself? You're a great deal, a wonderful buy. If Jesus gets you, boy, he's going to be thrilled to death. Is that the way you see yourself? Or do you see yourself as the Scripture lays it out, as being totally unworthy? Paul talked about himself as being the chiefest of sinners. Yet I know of no man that God used more than the Apostle Paul. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself like God sees you? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The word zealous comes from a Greek word. It's a command to be hot. They were lukewarm. He said, you need to be hot. Now, my time is gone for today. I hope you'll join me on the next broadcast as we continue our study here in Revelation to see what the Bible says.